So we are landing from very festive times to more like ordinary time. Yet this is not yet ordinary time. It comes sometimes after Pentecost. But hopefully it never comes, because in the presence of Christ there is always something special going on, am I right? And by the way, this is still Easter season. It lasts till the Pentecost. 40 days after Easter, we celebrate Ascension Day, and then 10 more days, 50 days after Easter, it's Pentecost, when the Church of Christ was born. And now we are following Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to his followers, to his disciples. And then you ask, yeah, I know, Dima, this is very interesting, and this is what the gospel says, but what is it to me? What is it to us today? How can I apply this? That Jesus just walked through the locked doors, into locked room. What is it to me today? How can I use this word into my daily life? Now, let's see if we can. In our gospel reading, according to John, which is my favorite gospel, obviously, chapter 20, 19 to 31, Joe read it so well. Jesus, the risen Lord, visits his disciples, as we are reading. Should we say terrified disciple? Disciples who were afraid, who were literally hiding behind the locked doors. And Jesus brings them, first of all, he brings them peace, as he always brings his peace when he comes to us, despite circumstances. And then he reminds his disciples about their purpose, which is to say, Jesus wanted to lift them up, despite of fears. And then Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit. And yes, he didn't forget to talk to Thomas, who doubted whether the resurrection, whether Jesus had risen or not. So many different things taking place in such a short time. And there's much more that took place at Jesus' visit with his disciples. But one thing we know, he transforms, which is to say that Jesus changed their fears into joy, and then he commissioned them, declaring that blessed are those who believe without seeing, referring to us. We have not seen Jesus face to face in terms of physically, yet spiritually we have. And we have experienced his presence as we are experiencing his presence today, this morning, right here. So this reading that is before us is highlighting very clearly that Jesus brings peace to us even when we are in our locked room. For whatever reason, because of our doubts, fears, fear of unknowns, we have, for some reason, we have locked ourselves into that one room, and we have locked it up from inside. So first thing here, repeating, Jesus enters our locked rooms as he entered into the locked rooms of his disciples. This is the connection, this is the bridge between us and disciples there in the room. Their reason to get in the locked room was fear and doubt. What was going to happen? Or maybe it was uncertainties. And they have all reasons to have those feelings and being afraid. Think about after intensive learning experience with the Son of God for 3 years, then all of a sudden he was taken from them and he was nailed to the cross. They killed him. and the most brutal way, and now they were not quite sure somewhere not, whether what's going to happen. What's the continuity? What's to be continued from here? Now, the truth is the disciples were hiding there in fears. They have chosen to lock themselves in that one room. Now, we don't really know whether it was one room place or it was a house, or was it possibly that upper room that we learn a little bit later on the day of Pentecost? Possibly it was. What was the connection for them to get that room? Maybe through families, through friends? Maybe one of them owned that place. It doesn't come clear. Here they are behind locked doors, that's for sure. And Jesus came into their midst. He just walked into that room. Doors were not hindering him. He walked in. There's no locked doors for Jesus to get in. This is good news for some of you. If you are hiding, or you are locked yourself into that one room, you don't have strength to think about what is going to be next step. Where we go from here? Where do I go from here? Or you are just overwhelmed from something and you have decided to lock yourself into that room. Even you have closed your life from your friends, for your friends. Because he wanted, why Jesus wanted to walk into that room. You said, Timo, it's common sense. Nothing is common sense in the Bible. Nothing really is. Here's one reason, because he wanted to talk to his disciples to let them know that he's risen. Convince them to build their faith. Can you see? I was nailed to the cross and I'm here before in front of you. I am risen. I rose up. He also wanted to remind them that I love you. And you guys have purpose in your life. You got to keep your faith. I am still with you. He loves them and that he had purpose for them. And then he had ministry for them for the rest of their lives. So there was purpose for Jesus' visit, as if even it took walking through the locked doors, he just did it. But here's the thing, he comes similarly into our lives as well. When we are having moments of fear and shames and desperations and tons of doubts and unknowns about many, very many things, Jesus says, walk in right in the middle of your life. Maybe some of you are wondering whether he can do it for you today. I hope this is not just ordinary Sunday after big festive season. I hope Jesus will surprise you right here in this morning, this service. Jesus comes to us and he always offers us his peace. You see the difference between peaceful mind and peace of Christ? There's a big difference. If you have experienced Christ's peace, you know what it is. You've been assured that nobody can take it from you, but sometimes we are tempted to lose it for our doubts, fears, and tons of unknown things. Jesus' peace is the gift of shalom, the Hebrew word. Shalom peace is deep peace. And nothing and nobody can take it from you. It is peace that will remain in us despite circumstances. It is peace of Christ. Do you have peace of Christ in your heart? Friends who are worshiping with us through Facebook and YouTube, do you know what we are talking about in this world of uncertainties? When Christ offers you his peace, peace that surpasses your understanding, peace that nobody can take from you, because it is peace in his presence. And he can walk through the locked doors into the rooms of your heart. And first thing he greets you with is his peace. Shalom, his peace. Not just peaceful mind or moments of peace, but this is peaceful states of your life with Jesus Christ. It's a huge difference. Secondly, Jesus comes to us with commission and Holy Spirit. Commission means that he has something to do for you. When you are young, if you're a young person, why not elderly too? Listen very carefully what you are going to hear. Jesus comes to us with commission and with Holy Spirit. If he has commission for you, he has power and strength for you to do it. Can't do nothing good on your own in the kingdom of heaven. If you are trying, good luck to you. It's not going to work out. I hate to disappoint you. You got to have strength and power from the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and came through the locked doors to see his disciples, to commission them, and to give him his Holy Spirit to them. Now, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he told them, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And we read it and we say, okay, Jesus was sent by Father, and here he's sending his disciples to go forward to represent him. You say, that's nice. Put yourself in the shoes of these disciples. How clear it was for them. Okay, I get it, Jesus. You just died for me, and you were nailed to the cross, and you rose again, and you are reminding us that you were sent by Father, and now you are sending us. It's all clear. Where we go from here? Don't be afraid if you are not quite sure what the next step is, if you follow Jesus. I bet disciples were not much more clear than you are. But they were commissioned by Christ himself. This very thing was going to be repeated on the day of Pentecost. Remember, this is not Pentecost yet. But here Jesus commissioned them to go. It was clear. Jesus wants us to go. Jesus wants us to represent him. Our life has purpose. Our life has calling. This was the step one to prepare them to go and share good news about Jesus. Have you received the first step already? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Do you have his Holy Spirit in your heart? Do you know that you are a child of God? That's your next first step. And to be followed, to be continued, there's going to be a next step for you. You better be ready for it. Remember, this wasn't Pentecost yet here in our reading. But this was leading to Pentecost. Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit under them, enabling them to carry on his mission of spreading the gospel, the good news of the cross and resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, we are not preaching on Pentecost yet. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus opened the doors way open for the worldwide mission and evangelism of Christ's church. And here's where we are today. Because we are on this side of Pentecost. We are on this side of the cross. So we are very fortunate. The power has been given upon us. If you have received it, there's plenty available. Now this one here was just a special invitation and commissioning for his disciples. They were 9, they were 11. There were 11 at this point. On the day of Pentecost, this picture got much larger and wider, because the Holy Spirit got on every human flesh. And everyone who proclaimed and claimed Jesus Christ to be their Savior was sent forward to proclaim the good news about salvation. Now, third, Jesus comes with transformation to us. Means when Jesus comes into your locked room. He comes with change. Something is going to change to you. We are singing a beautiful song as a closing for this service. I want you to listen to the words. If that's what you are longing, this is your day. This is your day today. This is the day. You don't have to wait more days to come. Here in our reading, Thomas, remember, needed to see Jesus in person, to touch him, to get another proof that Jesus was alive. And when Jesus offered that proof to Thomas, it leads to highest confession of faith in the gospel. We can read. Remember what Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," and he fell on his knees in front of Jesus. Jesus highlighting that those who believe without physical sight are blessed. He was talking about us, you and I, today. To many, let me say a few words about Thomas. He is not, after all, my most famous or most exciting characters in the Bible. I have to say that. And here's my explanation on that. To many of us, Thomas, by the way, whose nickname was Didymus. Didymus is Greek word, and it means twin, okay? But there's also another meaning for Didymus. It means double-minded. Dual-minded, not very nice. Today this, tomorrow that, whether believe or not to believe. So this Didymus, this Thomas, was one of the disciples. Now, one thing that always bothers me about Thomas, that I believe he liked to ruin the party, fake party. Why I'm saying this? He managed to turn Jesus' joyful resurrection celebration and news into his personal struggle of faith. Can you picture him sitting in the corner when the rest of the disciples were happy? They have seen Jesus. And of course, Thomas missed that moment. There he was, and listening to these other guys talking about Jesus' resurrection and something good is going to happen. And he was just there, moody. And then he would say, this is now a little bit playing between the lines, he said, you say you believe. You are so easy to believe anything what somebody is trying to tell you. I don't believe before I have seen and I have touched him. I am not going to believe before I have seen and I have touched him. I need more proof than what you guys can offer. So my question today is why Thomas and his character is pictured so clearly here in this reading? Why so clearly? Some of us may even say, let's just leave him alone. He's a little different. He's a little weird. Come on, man. Jesus was nailed to the cross and he rose again, and we are his disciples and we have seen him, and what's the problem is? Who in the world would doubt in the middle of world's greatest revolutionary event when God himself through his son Jesus gave his most precious gift by dying on the cross for the entire world and then rising from the dead for us? Lots of reasons not to doubt. But Thomas did doubt. He questioned this all. Have you been questioned what you believe? After reading some fancy book of somebody using lots of imagination, quoting very little Bible, you know, oh my God, have I done this all for nothing? He was a little double-minded. He was somebody who didn't believe whether believe or not to believe. Believe or not to believe. Today, believe in tomorrow, I don't know. It's a reason to believe. So why Thomas here is so clearly introduced in our text? Why we just leave him alone? I can't help you. You can't believe. What can I do? Let me say, friends, this. He is in this picture. He's introduced in this picture, in this reading so well, that he represents, he's a picture of us. He's you and he's me. You say, Timo, come on. I'm like a Peter kind of guy. I'm like a John kind of guy. I'm like many other disciples. I am not like them. Well, let me remind you what James says. You say you believe, but you got to show your faith in your actions. Then this picture comes very much closer to us. What you have done for those people who are going wrong direction in this life. What you have done, what have we done for those who are hungering and thirsting for Christ? What have we done for hungry people? What have we done for people who are less fortunate? Show your faith by your action. And I show my actions by my faith. Fits very well to this picture. So our life is not too much far from Thomas after all. He represents you and me, my friend. But Thomas is also a person who gave the strongest testimony as he professed, my Lord and my God, as he fell on his knees before Jesus. So point is here, so it doesn't really matter how much you doubt if you end up professing like Jesus, like Thomas did, my Lord and my God. Sometimes in the church, we get uncomfortable with people who are not singing the same tune that we are singing. You know what I'm saying? We try to leave them behind, or we try to ignore them. I really don't have time for this troublemaker. You should not ask questions like that in the church. Don't ask questions like that in the church. Well, Jesus can take any question. Whatever questions you have, if you are seriously questioning or doubting, go for it. Unless it leads you to clear professional faith saying, my Lord and my God. And it will, because Jesus will and can walk into your locked room of your heart with many fears and doubt. Church is a safe place to ask, help me, I'm having a hard time to believe, I am having a hard time to see it. Let's open the Bible, let's pray, let's think about it, let's think it through. This is what Jesus was doing with Thomas, disciple. It would be easy for him to walk in and be friends with the 11, with the 10 others and say, you got my spirit, let's go. No, he walked first to Thomas. He wanted to lift him up. He wanted to deal with him first because he loves, and he loves us all. What's the purpose of the gospel here? This passage includes and concludes by explaining that these signs were written so that you and other readers, now quoting the Bible, may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like Thomas, your questioning and your doubt can lead you a deeper understanding who Jesus really is. Let me say this. He sure have surprised me many times. I thought I have come far enough to know everything about him. He said, Timo, you know very little after all. He sure have surprised me. Have him walk into your locked room of uncertainties, unknowns, and doubt. And he would love to do that. And something to take home, Jesus sure can get into locked rooms and doors. Whatever is there in your heart today, he can walk in, and he loves to do it. Whether you are John-like, Peter-like, or Thomas-like, after all, we all being called to spread the good news about his wonderful resurrection and love for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We continue this time with the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward.